It is great to be back. I didn't know I'd get to be part of this series again. And it was great to hear Chez remind us of last week, which you got to hear about, and that was the providence of God through a sacrifice, which shows Jesus is all over the Old Testament. In fact, that was a sign of the greater sacrifice that God would provide in His Son, Jesus. I like the fact that we're going to be looking at marriage today and how marriage is something God is completely serious about. It is something we as human beings, even those of us in the church, have messed up to some degree or another. Because we're all sinful. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all struggle with the promises of God. I decided that we were going to look at Jesus being in the details of His providence for a wife. A wife for Isaac. And the details of that in the narrative that we saw here shows that it's all about the one who's truly faithful. It's God working in and through faithful people to carry out the promise He made a long time ago that one would come from Abraham. One would come back in Genesis, and that would be a Savior. That would be someone who would die in the process, who would be destroyed on a cross, and yet would give the blow, the final blow to Satan. So we get into this narrative, but I hope you caught everything. That's quite a narrative. But there's a few things I want to point out that have to do with the details. First of all, Jesus is in the details of creating faith. And as we talked about the last time I was here, anyone who believed in that promise was saved by that promise, even though it hadn't come yet. And it's the same with everything that takes place here. Abraham remembers, and in fact, we didn't read that little bit in verse 6 of this chapter, of him recounting the promise that God had made. And because of that, and knowing how detestable the practices of the Canaanites were, Abraham knew that he needed to at least go back, maybe not to true God worshipers. You know, Abraham, he was called out of the land of Ur where there was pagan worship. But at least they had a cultural similarity that would provide for his son. And so in faith, he and trust in God, he has his servant take an oath that he would go and he would bring back someone from his own family, his own line. He would go to his brother's, Abraham's brother's house. And that brings up the faithfulness of a servant. It didn't seem like he was being faithful, because when he was told to reach under his thigh and make an oath that he would bring someone back, he's like, I would love to make that promise, but I don't know if it's really going to happen. What if the one that is pointed out doesn't come? Well, as it turns out, Abraham was faithful and knew. And so he relieved his anxiety by saying, if you go and the one won't come back with you, I release you from the oath. Now, the faithful part of this servant, this servant has to do with seeking first the kingdom of God. He's not only in the details of this relationship and choosing someone to be a wife, but he's actually wants to be in the details of us. In 1 and 2 Corinthians, Paul gives instructions to the church on choosing a life mate. I didn't pay a lot of attention to that when I was looking for someone that I thought I wanted to marry. I was cutting meat in Wall, South Dakota, and I met the girl I thought was the one that was going to be my wife, and we became engaged. It happened to be a time in my life where I wasn't doing a lot of putting the kingdom of God first. I was putting Wade's kingdom first. This servant that went to find somebody prayed specifically. I don't remember ever praying about who I would marry. 3 months before the wedding was supposed to happen, she dumped me. Yeah, poor Wade. My boss, who was like a second father, sold the grocery store. There went another dream. Found myself in front of the pastor, who I hadn't seen for a while, Pastor Warner, and cried on his shoulder, and he looked at me after I got done, and he says, "Wade, I'd like to feel sorry for you, but you're doing a good job of that yourself." Gee, thanks, Pastor. And then kind of like and by the way, have you ever thought of being a pastor? I'm like, no. Don't you have to go to college to do that? And I went home that night, and I looked. It was a February night, 20 below zero. I'm looking into the coal burner, oil burning stove, and I'm just in a trance. The sun comes up the next morning. I pick up the phone, and I call my mom. And she knew I was kind of in a funk, and she says, "Yeah, what's the matter?" I said, "I'm going to go to college." She goes, "Really? What for?" To be a pastor. She dropped the phone and yelled, "Warren, you better come and talk to your son." Dad gets on the phone and told him, and he goes, "Well, maybe you ought to move home and you can save up some money." First affirmation. My mom wasn't so affirming. She thought I went over the deep end. But I started seeking first the kingdom of God. I forgot about what my agenda was. And it wasn't always easy. I remember my first sermon I turned in. The sermon came back. It was all marked up in red. And it said, "Wade, you used to butcher meat. Now you butcher sermons." Well, I had to write him a note and say, "Well, I hate to, correct an esteemed professor, but I used to butcher animals. I cut meat." And he still wrote back, "You butcher sermons." God has brought me on a journey, but I remember when the song came out by Garth Brooks, "Thank God for Unanswered Prayer." And I first started to think that song was for me in regard to that first relationship. However, what I had to admit in my heart was I don't remember praying. Now, in the faithfulness of this servant, he prayed. And before he was even done praying his prayer, specifically about the sign he wanted, Rebecca shows up. He's still praying, which means God was answering that prayer before he even started praying it. And then he fell down on his face and worshiped and thanked God in prayer. I think today sometimes we forget to pray for God's will. In Corinthians, Paul tells us to not become unequally yoked. And if you have become unequally yoked, if you are married to someone who doesn't believe, but they're willing to be in the relationship with you and not hinder you from your relationship with God, you stay in that relationship and you make that household holy, both for the one you're married to and for the children that would come from that relationship. And it's not saying you save them. It's saying there is a holiness that comes into the relationship that can save. But when we're told, when we are looking for a life mate, we are to pray for God's will. Lisa, when I went to college, was such a nice girl, my wife. She was so nice, I thought, she'll never have anything to do with me. So I was trying to fix her up with a guy that lived in the dorm room next to me. But then I prayed. And I decided that God wanted me to be equally yoked, and it's been a blessing for 45 years to share our faith together. He was in the details of that relationship. I think when you look at this narrative, he was in the details all the way along. He is the real faithful one. And he stays in that relationship, which brings me to the details of not only prayer, not only faith and trust, but the details he's in regard to being servants. A lot of times we get into relationships for what it will give me. Rather than thinking about getting into this relationship for how I can serve this other person. I invite you today, stay for Bible study, we're going to be looking at a picture of God's will for marriage. The world tells us all kinds of things about what marriage is supposed to be, but God had a plan when he gave marriage as an institution to Adam and Eve. It was before the fall. It's still his plan for marriage today. It was the plan he had for Isaac and Rebekah to fulfill a greater promise. In this, there was a lot of serving. The servant that served Abraham. Abraham who trusted God. It was Rebekah herself who trusted God and was willing to go and leave her family and be united with someone she hadn't met. Her trust in God fulfilled what God wanted and willed. I want to leave you with just a thought from Ephesians chapter 5. And this is, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. It's Jesus Christ. That's the mystery that he really wants us to see. Marriage is to be a reflection of what Jesus has done in becoming the bridegroom of the bride. And the way he could marry his bride was to make her pure and holy through his sacrifice. He chose to do that out of unconditional love. And now he wants to be in the details of our relationships with each other, choosing to love as he loved us in his name. And because his promise was fulfilled, amen.